Interesting title, huh? Are you intrigued? Don't you think there's something intriguing about secrets? Don't you always want to know what they are when someone says, I know something you don't know? Yeah? It always makes you want to know more, right? Did any of you or your siblings have secret diaries that you wrote in? Yeah, they were so interesting. Yeah. It's interesting to note that that there were TV shows called I've Got a Secret. Anybody, is there any from the generation that knows that one? How about movies with secret in the title? Her Majesty's Secret Service or The Secret Garden. Yeah. There's top secret things in the government. Well, I think so anyway. I'm not really sure. And in the military. And it makes one want to uncover secrets. I read Jody and Jay Pettigrove, some of our missionaries' blog, but I actually Googled this, and we all carry around about 13 secrets at one time. I was like, really? And five of them are which have never you've never told another person. Interesting. So are you wondering yet what in the world? So during my Bible reading a week ago, I came across a compelling verse. I'm just reading through scripture. I actually read in about five different books each day, and to see what God is doing and speaking. I read this verse, and I'm like, wait a minute. I missed that verse sometime. I went back and read it, and then my heart began to, I actually felt like my pulse went up. And I was like, okay, God, what are you doing here? And I realized this is something he wanted me to share about. And so I'm going to do my very best to share what God has showed me. It's towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses is actually sharing with the people all the things that he wants to tell him, because God's told him he's going to die, that he's going to go up on the mountain and die. And so he's going through in Deuteronomy a lot of things to the people. And when you get in the 29th chapter, it's almost like this feeling you get that, oh, what else? I got to remember to tell them. Oh, what else do I need to be sure that they understand before I leave? I want them to know this. And so we look at Deuteronomy 29:29, and I'm going to read it for you. It says, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. You all know that, right? And we are not accountable for those or them. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. It's interesting because I read it in all the different translations and stuff. I was sharing this with my sister, Roberta, and she said, have you read it in the Message? And so let me share it with you out of the Message Bible. It says, God, our God, will take care of hidden things, but the real revealed things are our business. It's up to us and our children to attend to all the terms in this revelation. Fascinating, huh? And so that phrase that we and our children are accountable forever to all that he's revealed to us began to disturb me. Because I truly believe God has showed me things. He's revealed things to me. And I absolutely know he has revealed things to you. Many things. And here God is saying, hey, we're accountable for that which he's revealed to us. And that troubled me. And I begin to wonder, well, where am I at in this? Where are our people at in this? And what has he been showing us that we're not even taking hold of and doing anything with? And what happens if we don't take hold of it and do it? And all these questions begin to stir in my heart. And so I begin to search the word and seek him and look at commentaries and look through everything and spend time praying, asking God. And I realized that God is always revealing truth to us. He is. But what do you do with it? Seriously, what do we do with it? As the body of Lighthouse Church, the things God has revealed about us, what are we doing with it? I mean, I've had you tell me things you believe God is speaking over us as a people. This church began a long time ago. It doesn't look anything like it did then. But I'm telling you, the words are still true because God is not a liar. He's faithful to what he speaks, and what he speaks, he accomplishes. And he spoke about us being a lighthouse in the community. He's spoken to us about being a healing center. He's spoken to us about our hearts receiving all that come into he brings through the door. And so I've been wondering, what about the things God has revealed to you? And maybe you'll say, well, he hasn't revealed anything to me. Well, what about this morning? Even this morning, what was revealed? What about the word for Susie and Jason? Like, take the top off. It's not big enough for what God's goodness. What are they going to do with that? You see, sometimes we do this. Oh, that's nice. Thanks. Oh, that made me feel good. And then you never think about it again. But when God speaks over you, for instance, over Justin, and he says, there's an angel standing behind you and he has a drawn sword, and I saw him cut the chains off. That means the chains are cut off. So when the enemy comes in and begins to stir our hearts about feeling all those things we felt before the chains were cut off, we have to stand and say, wait a minute. God revealed his heart to me. He set me free, so I'm free. And so many times we let the enemy rob us. We let him come in and stop us from what he has called us to do and be because we let the voice come in and we don't remember. We do not remember what he's revealed to us. You see, he can reveal things to you through a message, a sermon. Very possible, if you're listening. He can reveal things to you through prophetic voice, right? I've had crazy things spoken over me. I remember long ago, I was actually in Bethel, and they wanted us to tape on video a testimony of what God had done. It was a crazy testimony. To be honest, I'm sorry, I don't even remember what the testimony was now. And I'm like, I'm not getting in front of the camera. You do it, Mike. I'm not doing that. And we got all done. Mike got finished. And the guy came to me and he said, I just want you to know I believe the Lord's speaking that you're going to be in front of a camera a lot. And I'm like, oh, right. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. You know, God speaks to us because he sees what we don't see. And he understands what we don't understand. And his words are revelation to you that you might know what to do. They aren't just a pat and be okay. You need to, the reason that Pastor Mike goes through all the work of getting the word together and the work that I do to put it together with your name on it out there on the kiosk is so that you have it in front of you and you can actually remember what God is speaking to you. And you can rehearse it. And you can remind yourself about those things. And so I found it fascinating in that verse in chapter 29 that he doesn't just say we're responsible for what he's revealed to us, but he adds in our children. And I'm like, man, I can't make my kids do stuff. What in the world? You know, you get that thought. And I realize that as I present the truths, if I live out the truths that he has presented to me, that he's revealed to me, and I demonstrate them, there's somebody watching. And there's someone picking up and understanding, oh, this is God. See, I know God answers prayer. He's revealed that to me. He's shown me so many times how he answers prayer that There's no doubt that God answers prayer. And so I present that to you, to my grandchildren, to my children. I speak that over people because God has revealed it to me. And that is meant, as I share that, then that affects you. Well, it's supposed to, right? Okay. And so we need to not only say, oh, look what he's revealed to me. We need to not only do that, but that we need to walk it out. You see, and that's not easy. I've been speaking over health over myself. And there's times when I'm like, God, your word says this. So I stand on this truth because your word says this. I lay hands on myself. You can do that. It's allowed. And I believe that he's the healer. You see, I believe there's so much more about healing that we haven't even touched. We haven't even seen the manifestation of how God wants to move in our midst and in our lives personally. You see, we want to make it everyone else's responsibility. And this morning, God is saying to you that what he reveals to you, you're responsible for. And you got to do something with it. And so I thought about the Old Testament. And I thought, well, let me paint some pictures for you. It's easy to pick on them because you can read it and go, what? Well, they were nuts. Why wouldn't they have got hold of the truth and walked it out? As you don't walk out the truth in your own life. You know what I'm saying? But I want to talk about the Israelites for just a minute. They're an interesting group of people. And God loved them very, very, very much. And I want you to remember, I'm not going to go to scriptures. I'm going to just tell you some things. Like he took them out of Egypt. 1 million+ people, slaves in Egypt. And he actually takes them out and sets them free. That would have been a pretty big thing to be a part of. To go from all you've known for 400 years is slavery to freedom. And not only that, he goes with them. He's a light and he's covering them and he's a protection behind them. And they see this with their eyes. And then they come to a water and they're like, he brought us out here to kill us. That's their heart. They're not remembering the revelation of all the things he did in Egypt to show them who he was. And they're standing at the sea and God says, just raise your staff over the sea. And it opens. And I can't even imagine going through an ocean or a sea and the water standing up on either side as I journey through and experiencing that only to see the enemy coming behind you. And with what he saved you with, he destroyed the enemy. And they experienced that. They saw God give water to 1 million+ people plus their animals out of a rock. Moses struck a rock and the water came out. What kind of a funnel of water had to come out of that rock in order to provide for all those people. Have you ever thought about that? What did it look like? Did it look like a rushing river? What did it look like? And they saw that. They experienced it. They actually thought, oh, he gives me water when I need it. He gives me food when I need it. He stops the enemy. He protects me. And so this is being spoken over them time and time again. He gives them meat. How many of you have seen quail come flying into a camp at 3 feet off the ground, enough for everybody to bat them on the head and have them? You know, who experiences that? And they experience that. And yet, the revelation of who he is, what he was showing them, his love and his care and his, they couldn't get it. In fact, I believe they actually closed their heart to it. And so when it came time for them to enter the promised land, when they're standing on the very edge of what God had promised them from the beginning that they would have, they're not ready to go in. I want you to listen to this. It's out of Numbers 14. I'm going to just read a little bit out of there. In verse 2, it says, their voices rose in such a great chorus to protest against Moses and Aaron. And this is what they cried out. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness. Why is the Lord taking us to this country where we have to die in battle? Our wives and our little ones, they'll be carried off in plunder. And they plotted against themselves, let's go back to Egypt. Let's choose a leader and go back. You see, we do that. He speaks over us. He reveals things about himself so that you can walk in the difficulties that you're facing. There are difficulties everywhere. We have to accept this. We are all facing difficulties. And he knows what you're going to face, and he's already revealed to you what you need to understand, what you need to know, so that you can walk through that difficulty. He is so good. He has you in mind. He's so good that he puts people on a mountain to take care of my daughter. You know, he does that. And it's like they did not walk in the understanding they were offered. And I asked you this morning, are you walking in the understanding that's been offered you? Are you? You need to consider that. You have to say, where am I at? What am I doing? See, I have to do that to myself. Some days it feels dark. And I have to say, well, darkness is not of the Lord. So what am I going to do about it? Oh, let's just be dark. No, I start praising and thanking him and start singing, and it's just amazing how things turn around, because I know who he is and what he wants to be to me and what he's spoken over me, and so I want to walk out that in my own life. I think they actually, those Israelites, hardened themselves against the Holy Spirit working in their lives, and I think how much they saw. And I think how many times we think, well, if God would only do this, then we would follow fully. It's not true. Because there's a challenge against you. There's someone who is challenging you on every side. And you have to decide, I know who God is. I know what he's revealed to me. And I'm going to walk that out. I'm not going to believe all those voices that come against me. I'm going to believe what is that his heart is for me and not against me. And so that's kind of a negative one. I mean, they did a lot of good things too, but I'm telling you, I just wanted you to see that for a minute. But I want you to think about David. He's a shepherd boy. He's only 16, 17 years old, okay? He's not very old. And he's out there, and the Lord reveals that he can take out bears and he can take out lions. I don't know how, with a slingshot, with a staff, with whatever he did. The Lord reveals that to him. And he begins, and he sings this song over himself. It's found in Psalms 27. I'm just going to do part B. And it says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I actually say that verse a lot. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? That thought. And he does that. And revelation comes to him, and he begins to understand who God is for him. And so now you can say, oh, that's how he could go against a giant, because he had been revealed who God was to him, that he could do things he couldn't do in himself. And so when he comes to the giant, this is no big deal to him. Why? Because God had revealed his character to him, his love for him, his care for him, and David decided, I'm going to believe it and walk in it. And so when you come to 1 Samuel 17 and he's up against a giant, listen to his words. In verse 45 it says, David said to the Philistine, the giant, the big guy out there that everyone else was afraid of. He said, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Are you coming against your enemy in the name of the Lord of hosts? The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. That's bold stuff, standing out there with the giant right there. And he said, and this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that the God, there is a God in Israel. He says, because the Lord does not save with a sword and a spear. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. You see, and we've forgotten that. We have forgotten that what we're facing, the battle is not ours. We don't have to work it up and try to figure it out. We have to make it happen. We have to walk in the truth that the battle belongs to Him. Our job is to trust Him who made you. Trust Him who called you. Trust Him who saved you. Trust Him who delivers you. He says He delivers you out of the darkness and into the light. That's His promise. He said, I send my word and I heal you. He says that I'll save you. God's word is so full of His revelation of who He is. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Probably one of my heroes in this whole idea of what I'm talking about this morning is Abraham. Because God says leave and he leaves. How many of us would leave if he says leave? I'm not sure. Pack up your belongings, take your family and go. Well, where am I going? You'll know. You know that idea? And sometimes we have to know all the details we want to know and understand everything in order for God to do what he wants to do. And sometimes he likes the mystery and the intrigue. And he wants you to trust him. Church, more than anything else, he wants you to trust him. And I'm telling you that he is trustworthy. He's worthy of your trust. He's worthy of your faith. And so God comes to him and he tells him a few things. He says things like, I'm going to make you a nation. From you, I'm going to make a nation. He has no children. He says, I'm going to make you famous. He's a stranger out in the wilderness. You talk about some of the prophetic words we've heard. This is a very powerful prophetic word and a very out there one. And he says this, I'm going to bless others through you. And like, you're like, who am I? Who am I? And he says, I'm going to give you land. It's going to be for you and your descendants forever. He makes that promise to him. Okay, so we're going lots of years, and he hasn't seen that, and he doesn't have a child, and all of that. And what God had revealed to him about the land, about him being a nation, he held close to himself. And he walked out in that revelation. Did he mess up sometimes? Yeah, but God he just kept moving forward. He kept saying, moving into what God had given him. And we need to hold Abraham's perspective because it's about facing impossible situations, which we really prayed over you this morning for that. And listen to what he says in Romans 4:18. It says, who contrary to hope, in other words, they didn't look like there was any hope. So some of you have some situations that contrary to hope, it doesn't look good. I have faced so many of those contrary to hope situations. It says, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith. He didn't consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. Nor did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. You see, he didn't think about those things. He remembered what was revealed to him. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to bless people through you. And all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through you. You are blessed because of Abraham. I don't know if you understand that. Not only in the kingdom, but in life, you are blessed because of him. All the nations will be blessed through him. So we need to live out and act on what's been revealed to us. You see, it's easy for us to hear things and have our heart really stirred. Like, I've been in services like, whoa, this is the coolest night. Yes! And a day or two later, I'm like, now what did they preach on? I was wondering, what was it that God spoke? What was stirring? I can't remember what was stirring my heart so much. I've been to conferences and I'm just like, whoa. I'm telling you, God is wanting us to grab hold of what he reveals to us. And he's wanting us to hold on it, that contrary to hope, that we wouldn't look at the deadness of our situation. We wouldn't look at our ages. Sometimes I look at my age and I say, God, this is what you promised me. And look where I'm at. When are you going to do it? And yet he's saying, contrary to hope, he believed. And God is asking you and I, contrary to hope, to believe. I love in Corinthians, because Paul's encouraging us in this thought. He says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, he says, Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. You are stewards of those secrets he's revealed to you. You're responsible and accountable for those secrets. And it says, moreover, in verse 2, it's required in stewards that they be found faithful. See, God reveals to us truth over and over again. He doesn't just one shot and it's done. He keeps reminding us. And when we receive that, then he adds another layer on. And when we receive that, then he adds another one. You see, there's no end to the revelation of what God wants to show you. But he's waiting for you to step into what he's already revealed to you. Jesus says it this way in Luke 8:18. Take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. All through the Bible, in the parables of the stewards and all of that, it's like if you take the revelation he gives you and you walk in it and you fully go after it. If you don't understand it, seek it out. Find someone that shows you what it is. But you take hold of those. Then there's more. There's always more to be given to you. And he wants you to have more. He wants to take you so high, so deep. He really does. He's always laying our lives with truth, always waiting to increase our understanding of him. I love that in Ephesians, we quoted a lot, 1:17, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's wanting you to know him. He's wanting to reveal his character to you. He's wanting to reveal what he will do in your life. We sell him so short. We do not believe what he wants to do. I even feel that about our nation. Like, I can say to you, I truly believe God wants to send revival, that he's going to work, that he's going to do something. Well, have you heard what they did and this one did and did you see this? And you're like, but wait a minute. What if you're the only one that really begins to believe? But what if the whole church begins to believe? What if the whole church of America stops slamming our nation and begins believing on behalf of our nation, asking God to do something? What might happen? When your mouth starts speaking that, shut it. Hold your hand over. Don't let the words out. You're speaking death over us. You're speaking into the atmosphere. That's what is contrary to what God wants to do. Listen to what the prophets are saying out there. God is wanting to move in our land. I'll tell you why he's wanting to. Because otherwise a whole lot of people are going to go to hell. And he's wanting all he can to come into the kingdom of God. He's wanting to deliver us out of the darkness into the light. He's wanting to do something to amaze you. I always love doing stuff for my kids, and they would be, oh, really? You did that for me? That's God. He's wanting to do stuff for you. But most of the time we're like, well, he might do it for them, but he's certainly not going to do it for me. Or I've never seen God do that. Why would he? Now, we are not good stewards of what he shows us. And God is saying, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to be a good steward. Do you store up all those revelations as a treasure, believing what God has spoken to you? So God gives us revelation as individuals. And I want you to consider for a moment the last prophetic word spoken over you, wherever it was, where it came from. Did you hold on to that revealed truth? Did you treasure it? Did you speak it over yourself? I actually saw Katie this week. I met with her. And she said, I take my prophetic words and I read them every day. I read them out loud over myself, over my kids, and over my family. I was like, whoa, that's really cool. I need to be more faithful. Yeah. And then that same thing about God reveals things to us at Lighthouse Church. I want to tell you something. Back in February, it was sometime in there, God spoke to me about this house being a healing center. But he said, it's something way beyond just physical healing of the body. He said, I want you to be a center that prays over people's minds. And I'm like, minds? Like, you just think we're all one piece, you know, we're just the body. And I thought about people dealing with Alzheimer's. I thought about people who've even had ADHD or things like that that trouble them and keep them back from what God wants to do. I thought about lots of different arenas in which our minds are not fully well. And he said, I want you to be about your soul too. And I realized how many of us carry these great big wounds inside of us, and God's wanting us well in those. So we got our mind and our soul and our physical body. And God is really wanting to do that. And this is what he said to me. He said, I want you to set up teams and I want you to do something with it. And I want you to do it quickly. That was in February. And I told you all this a little bit at the annual meeting. And I said, I'm on it. That was really fast of me, wasn't it? And he began, before I got this message, he began to say to me, I thought I asked you to do something. And I'm like, I don't know how to do it, Lord. If I knew how to do it, I'd do it, but I don't know how to do it. Thus, we having a brainstorming session on the Wednesday night. And I asked the group on a Wednesday night at our, when we were meeting every week on Wednesday nights, and I said, how many of you are interested in this? How many of you are interested in healing of the mind? How many of you are interested in healing of the body? And different ones raised their hand. And I was like, okay, God, you are stirring hearts. And so Wednesday night, come. Help me out. Help me to step into what God told me to do. And then I want you to remember that God has revealed things to us about our nation. You see, if you read the history, the real history, if you go back, this nation was founded on the principles of God. And we were meant to be one nation under God. And God is wanting to bring us back to where we committed. Do you know how many men committed with their lives that would be true? And God cares about this nation. This nation has done a lot for missions all across the world. We send missionaries. And God is wanting to wake us up again and use us. And so we have to remember the things about our nation. So it's about ourselves, about our church, and about our nation. All those revealed things that God is wanting to do. And he wants you to do something with it. So I'm going to close with reading out of the message again. It's not going to be up there because did I put it up there? Oh, I did put it. Deuteronomy 29:29, it says, God, our God. Is he your God? We'll take care of hidden things, but the revealed things are our business. It's up to us and our children to attend to the terms of the revelation. So I stand before you this morning, can honestly say, I need work in this area for myself because I have not taken seriously some of the things God has spoken over me, even. And so I'm encouraging you to join me in saying, okay, God, what are you doing here? And let me join with you in what you're doing, that you, your kingdom might come and be advanced. Is that what you want? Won't you stand with me this morning? So I encourage you this morning that God has secret things to show you. He wants to reveal things to you. But there's a little catch, you have to actually ask. And I think hungry people, he feeds fully more and more and more. So be hungry. I encourage you to be hungry for more of him. Be hungry for his secrets. You see, there's mysteries that are meant for you to uncover. God has so much for us. So much for us. And I don't know about you, but I'm one that wants to say, yes, God, I want to walk in the revealed truth. I want to believe the things you've showed me. I want to trust you, my Papa. I want to know that I'm hidden in your wings. I want to understand that you've sent angels on assignment for me. I want to believe that you go before me, that you surround me. I want to believe that you know me intimately and that you care so much about me, more than for the birds of the air. I want to believe that you will financially take care of me when it doesn't look like you will. I know you will, so I stand believing that you will. I want to believe that I can be an evangelist even when my heart is sad about doing it, hard to do, when I find it embarrassing or whatever, that we would trust that you have made us able. I want to believe that you, the living God, would be glorified through us as a people. Lord, I ask you to look at our hearts this morning. You would say that contrary to hope, we believed. And I ask you to bring to the minds of those in this congregation this morning some of the most wild things you've spoken to them, and that they would retrieve those things you've spoken and that they would put them before their face and trust that you, if you said it, you were going to do it. So I thank you and I praise you. I praise you, Lord. Will you commit to him this morning that that is your heart and that's what you want?
Before the service closes, I forgot to mention that there's still a need for camp, for the kids going to camp. And if you'd like to give towards that, we've gotten lots to come in, but there's still some more. And so I didn't want to miss reminding you of that. And so, and also just to really pray over the campers going, you can pick one of the names off the list and just maybe this week start praying over their hearts for the week to come when they go to camp. So, and you can put that into the offering box in the back. So.
Amen. Amen. your hand in your heart this morning. It says in Proverbs, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the glory of kings to search it out. So let's be kings in the kingdom. Search out the secrets of God and walk in them. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go in his grace today.